It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's my great pleasure to welcome once again into the studio for another edition of Valley Edition, Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
Morning.
And Mark Kelsey. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, everyone.
And calling in from the far part of the borough, Zaz Hollander.
Good morning, everybody. I'll try not to have my teeth chatter too much in the diversified tire parking lot.
Okay, well, that's worth noting. The temperature has fallen. It's down into the single, not quite the single digits. We've got double digits, 11 degrees on Friday morning, and just not going to climb too much above that. So as things have cooled down, I cannot say that we have necessarily seen the political process cool down. I'm going to start with just a quick reference to what's happening here in the municipalities. My understanding, and Zaz, perhaps you have some, I mean, you're visually right there looking around the city of Wasilla. The city of Wasilla is going to have a meeting this coming week, and it looks like, from what I understand direct from the mayor, Bert Cottle, that he's pretty convinced that what's going to go down is a ban on plastic bags in the city of Wasilla.
That's the sense that I've been getting from Mayor Cottle for some months now, since the borough assembly took up the conversation at that level of government to talk about a 10-cent tax on bags. And the cities, there was a lot of grumbling in the cities, and Wasilla, yes, the consensus from a meeting they had, I think in the end of September there, was, you know what, if we're going to do anything, let's just ban them.
Right. Okay, now, my question is, what happens in the rest of the borough? We know that Wasilla has the vast majority of the larger businesses and a lot of small businesses, but there are still some big stores outside the city limits, and there are, of course, other businesses in the city of Palmer. And of course, lingering out there is this question, which seemed to have been answered by the borough attorney, to say the borough cannot ban plastic bags. Zaz, do you have any inkling of whether that is really true or not?
Well, I guess I'll defer to the borough attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a second-class borough, they don't have policing powers, so I think that then extends to enacting bans on anything. They can tax, but they can't ban.
So the implication being that the city of Wasilla will have plastic bag police?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And new uniforms for all.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Terry, any?
But I think the other thing to think about for the borough would be then if Wasilla is effectively taking the majority of the big box stores off the table, so to speak, for a tax, then what kind of revenue forecast do you get for a borough-wide tax when, if Wasilla is just banning plastic bags, that you would think that would have a negative effect on future revenues.
And, of course, that would seem to take the foundation right out from any proposal for a tax, right? Okay. All right.
Well, and technically it has a neutral effect. It's not taking any cash off the table. It's taking potential cash off the table.
Right. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Terry, any comments?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's pretty a foregone conclusion that if Wasilla bans them, that if it comes to the city of Palmer, that'll probably follow suit. So there won't be any tax revenue there. And then they really, if the borough does go, maybe that takes care of 75% of the problem and the borough just lays back and sees what happens for a while. The borough could also just say, hey, state, change the code. Some legislator take it up. There are state of Hawaii have banned them completely. There are a couple cities now that have banned them, so that'd make it uniform throughout Alaska. you could try to get some legislator to put a bill out there. Maybe it'd go through. We'd have to see. But that's about the only way the borough's going to have anything different from what I've heard.
Okay. Well, the switching, since you used the term borough, the borough had a meeting. And they have two meetings on Tuesday. One, the first one, was a very short meeting, about 21 minutes. That was the certification special meeting. And one of the people that is going to be sitting up there as a result of the balloting, Ted Leonard from the Wasilla area, has been certified and will on Sunday become really an assembly member. And then from here on, it will attend meetings and so on. But the way they work this at the borough is that even though that certification meeting has certified, the person doesn't take office immediately. So Mr. Culligan sat and was in that meeting for a last time this past Tuesday. Mr. Leonard paid a lot of attention to this, and everyone was welcoming to him. So we'll see how that plays out and what change happens. Of course, the other question remains, since a recount was requested in the race that the incumbent Dan Mayfield was in, that because the recount was requested and approved and will be done, there will be some time before that certification happens to see whether Mr. Mayfield, who is, I believe, 18 votes ahead, will retain his seat or will be replaced. So there's still a big question mark sitting there.
Saul probably knows this better than I do, but didn't they, and I listened to the recording, but I can't remember, didn't they say that recount would happen by Monday?
I think that's right, Terry. I don't remember offhand.
And I think they have a meeting next week with the Planning Commission, so they could swear him in even at that point. I thought the comments from some of the assembly members were kind of interesting about the recount and the fact that they all had complete faith in the canvassing board and what they had done, and that it was sort of a waste of time, although Mr. Tews is paying for it, so it's his money and time, and the time is paid for it, ideally. But it was kind of interesting to hear that positive feedback, and if everybody's ever watched the canvas board at work, they're pretty darn impressive, as complete as it works. So it's, they might, yeah, my observation is they might pick up a couple of two that could fall the other way with questions or something like that, but it's unlikely it'll be overturned by that, and I don't think there's much of a precedent for that happening with a recount.
This is different from the counting of question ballots, where very often you can have a change occur. But the recount is pretty much going through the whole process again, and I think you're right historically, Terry.
Zaz, do you have anything else new and exciting on that, or?
No, not on that. I on the Talkeetna sales tax, which is not part of a recount, and was the vote was fairly solid, although not huge. I wrote a story about it. I'm not sure it's run in the paper yet, about the fact that there are at least several businesses in Talkeetna who are concerned about the sales tax. You know, and there's always going to be complaints, but that, you know, there are some retailers are within the downtown water sewer district and therefore will have a 3% sales tax, whereas others, you know, grocers, let's say, are outside. So that's unfair competition. And there's some questions as to exactly how the money is going to be spent. As usual, there's the contention of this is a sales tax going into a general fund because it cannot legally be earmarked. What's our guarantee it's going to fix our ailing sewer system? And, you know, the borough, Terry Dolan, the public works director, has a list of projects he wants to work on, but he doesn't know what the revenues are going to be yet because these businesses don't have to disclose their revenues now, so he can't really calculate what a 3% is going to look like. And then there's also the kind of push and pull between the locals who are there all year and the tourists who come in summer and are thousands and thousands strong.
So one of the things that I realized listening to your description is the interesting question, and it plays out there in Talkeetna, where you have people who vote because they live in a certain district. But if they live just outside that, even they can't vote.
Yeah, even if they have a business within the district. And
right.
I did hear that from at least one business owner, that they live outside the district, sort of ironically right near the ailing/failing, #failing sewer lagoon. And they live near the lagoon, but not within the taxing district, and so could not vote on a sales tax that now applies to their business.
So even those things seem so simple at times when you start, when you lift up the covers, wow. Well, we'll look forward to reading more about that. Mark, did you have a comment?
Quick circle back on the recount.
Okay.
When we talk about a canvas board, is that a group empaneled strictly for the recount, or is that a standing board that meets regularly?
No, it's just for the recount. That's all that they do. It's part of the clerk's office. They're all part of the election group. But she has, and they've been the same people for a long time. I think there was turnover one person this year. But no, it's
so they only will meet for
elections.
For recounts.
No, they meet at the election time, and they take care of the whole counting of the election. But and then they're there normally when election's done. They report to the assembly, and people are sworn in, and that's it. But they're being called back now to recount.
So it's not a new group that's constituted only for that purpose.
And who appoints them?
It's a normal committee. I think it's an application process. You have to look on boards and commissions, but I'm fairly certain that it's that way.
And I believe, as with any of these countings, you're allowed certainly to have observers there to ensure that it moves process well. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know the answer to that, Ms. Oz?
To have observers during a recount?
No. Are they a commission that they're just a commission that meets during the canvass
board?
Yeah, the board
process.
But I do think they have to go through this whole board process of being appointed. But
I don't know that
it's so rarely that it turns over. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got that. Okay. Well, moving from the very simple 21-minute certification special meeting to the regular meeting, one of the things that was, to some people who were there, very surprising was the vote regarding the placement of gravel pits and things of that
landfills,
sort.
Landfills, right?
Landfills. And Zaz, did you catch any of that?
Yeah, it was very quick. I missed some, I think, some of the comments. So this was a hearing on an amendment to the conditional use permit ordinance that would ban private landfills in the core area of the borough. And that's basically the area between Palmer and Wasilla. It's more than 90 square miles. It's the most densely populated part of the borough outside the cities. And it was voted in, without objection. And this basically goes to an issue involving an Anchorage company, Central Monofil, which is part of a larger company that operates in the Ship Creek area. And that's been kind of at odds with the neighborhood in the kind of the Gateway Community Council area. But also with the borough, there's been a lot of legal action between Central and the borough as Central, tried to operate a monofill, which is a place to put construction and demolition debris. Their permit made it clear it also would include some asbestos. They went out of their way to say how safe and environmentally secure it would be, but some of their past actions and their willingness to take things to court had neighbors concerned that they maybe couldn't hold them at their word. And so this was basically Matthew Beck working with neighbors, making sure that Central can't come back. They withdrew their application last year, but couldn't come back again in the future. And so by doing that means that nobody else can either. There were no pending applications for other landfills in that area.
Right. And there perhaps some of the same figures that had a year or two ago been at the assembly meetings and contesting the monofill reappeared. But this was quick. It was smooth and it was approved.
Right.
Okay. And we moved through it.
Those things cost the borough a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right.
And Central, to be clear, they spent a lot of money there as well.
Okay.
To be fair.
All right. So a lot of talk at the regular meeting was also thanking Mr. Culligan for 6 years' service and welcoming Mr. Leonard, looking forward to his return. And that went on for quite a while. Everyone had good things to say. It was pretty much a happy time. Any comments about any of that?
Well, we touched on it a little bit a week ago. I think the general consensus seemed to be that the assembly would be maybe a little less ideological going forward with the new people, especially with Ted Leonard stepping in for somebody who's an active political person. And Ted has a great record, a great work history, first with the city of Wasilla and then with the state. He's got a great handle on finance and economic development. He will be good for the borough.
Okay, that would seem to be the case. And any other comments?
No, Terry? Just to say, I didn't hear any horrid campaign stories, that it was both of them were courteous and respectful of each other, and that's always in my book a win-win, because that often doesn't happen, especially in a place like
Wasilla. We were able to go over to Wasilla Public Library, where a group had a forum, and both Ted Leonard and his opponent Patricia Hogan were there, and I think that was clear. The two of them sat side by side. Their answers to questions were not attack answers on anyone or one another, and it sounded as if it came off as a good campaign, and Mr. Leonard won. There's no doubt about it, but I didn't hear any complaints after that fact. Okay. Well, now we can look forward. Next week, the last week of October, some members of the legislature are traveling to Juneau. Some members of the legislature are waiting to travel to Juneau and may or may not go. The House is going to meet and take up business. And I think the reason why they're going is because technically the ball regarding action is in their court. And so they will meet, they will talk, they will have some committee meetings. Now, back here, as I understand, the Alaska State Senate will be doing some committee stuff, but the Senate doesn't feel it has to go there unless the House takes an action that would require the Senate to go, then meet and have a session and do something. Zaz, is that your understanding?
You know, Terry probably knows this one better than I
Terry,
do.
Mark probably knows better than I do. But
well, here's Mark. Here's how it looks to me.
I have some thoughts, but go, Mark.
As far as the new revenue bill, the Senate is the hurdle there. A version of that, the House passed an income tax bill. That apparently is off the table now, replaced by the governor's payroll tax proposal, which, you know, sort of a backdoor income tax. But presumably, that kind of bill has a better chance in the House than it does in the Senate. And the crime bill, I think the scenario is the opposite. The House is the hurdle there.
Right.
And I think a version of that passed the Senate very easily, I don't know, 18-2 or something like that. So I don't think either chamber can rightfully say it's the other guy's fault as far as a special session
awkward,
goes.
Awkward. Everybody likes to blame someone else.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that the Senate is doing this whole, not surprised, but dismayed that they're doing this. I mean, it's going to be a fire drill to get everybody there at the time. And, you know, to stonewall the House like that is just the wrong message, I think, to the community. And I worry that the hearings that are taking place here won't be televised, and the people won't, unless they're there, aren't going to have a chance. There may be an audio stream at some point, but it's always not very good when they meet here in Anchorage. Whereas if they had gone to Juneau and gone with the House and had hearings, they'd be covered and people could know. And something like revenue really should be in an open forum. And So I'm just dismayed that that the governor has called him back, given him instructions to go, and it has no bearing. It just falls flat on the Senate because they don't want to do that. And I just didn't think that's the way things were supposed to work.
Okay.
Exactly. And there's also a committee meeting in Anchorage on Monday, I think, about the gas pipeline, not related to the special session, but there's
not televised.
That kind of activity going on, too.
Okay. So one of the other, since we've gone to talk about the legislature and all, next year, of course, there is a major election. A number of people in the legislature will be up, but also the governor's position will be open. And I thought the fascinating thing that came up and was released this past week was apparently an action by the courts that said that the governor could run in the Democratic primary even if he wasn't a Democrat. That was fascinating to me because one of the things about this, the coalition of the governor and the lieutenant governor and the dance that happened 4 years ago, essentially, was to have an independent and a Democrat running on a cooperative ticket. And now there's been a lot of talk about who might run as a D and who's going to run as an R. And then if the governor runs, if he's an independent, how does that work? And more importantly, how do Democrats work to either support the governor or support their own candidate? But this would be made very, very different if Governor Walker runs in the Democratic primary.
So essentially, Democratic voters could choose him to be their candidate, even though he's not technically a Democrat. Is that the boiled down version?
I think so.
Interesting.
I think so. Zaz, did you think about any of that?
I think my brain is starting to freeze out here.
Is there any sign of a Democratic candidate?
Well, some time ago, there was a little bit of a hint that Mark Begich was testing it, the way the wind was blowing, if not the water. But I haven't heard very much about other people since then. And of course, the last time around, it required people to change their thinking because you had a governor. Gubernatorial candidate carrying the D label and a lieutenant governor, and then one guy had to step aside, and the other one had to make that move, and that was considered in some circles brilliant. The end result was Governor Walker and his lieutenant governor won. So we'll see how this plays out, but I think this is the I'm just raising that and saying. That's going to be the very interesting dance that will occur here because it may make a difference in who gets to be governor next.
Well, and June's a long, long ways away in some minds. And they have until June to figure out how the primary is going to go or to actually register. So right now there's not a big pool in the Republican side, but that could change. Things are going on. There'll be some, you'll know a little bit more because people want to get filed so they get that end of the year money.
Okay.
But that could change.
Okay. So here we go. One last question for you, a prediction, if you will. You got three choices. Choice number one, nothing. Nothing will happen with a special session. The legislature will meet in whatever way they do. They'll walk away, and there will be no legislation passed. That's choice one. Choice two, there will be something that will be done that'll deal with the revision to SB 91. Or number three, there'll be something that'll be done about taxes. Let's start with Zaz so you can be done first.
I think maybe movement on crime just because it's on the surface, I think to some lawmakers seems like an easy way to get some votes. And obviously, as we've discussed, it's a really complicated one, but nothing on taxes.
Okay. Okay. Terry.
Well, the baseball playoffs are an easier bet to make. I don't think they're going to do anything on revenue. I think they've had plenty of time to do that, and it's pretty clear that the Senate side or the majority side is still screaming there needs to be more cuts, and I don't see anybody walking that back. So it's pretty hard to come up with anything to fill that hole. The crime thing, they really have to do something about. Whether it's substantial or not, that'll depend on how the sausage making goes. But I think number two is probably your best bet that something's done on crime. But
okay, Mark.
I agree. I think that you'll see some action on the crime bill. They are much closer to getting there than they are on revenue. I don't think we'll see anything on that until next session.
Okay. Well, then I'll throw in and say, how could I do something different than the panel, which has agreed this way? I, too, would suggest something will happen with crime, but not taxes, and we've run out of time. So I want to thank Zaz Hollander for staying with us out there. Thank you, Zaz.
Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Warm up.
And I want to thank Terry Snyder for coming into the warmth of the studio. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Have a good weekend.
And I want to thank Mark Kelsey for also coming into the warmth of the studio.
See you all next week.
All right. And once again, we have finished another edition of Valley Edition. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.